Blog Talk Radio.
It's the one, the only Joey Nugs, along with Big Country. And I want to thank you for listening to Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. Taking over the internet one podcast show at a time. We're small now, but before we finish, we're going to be a giant. Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/Nugs Country. Follow us on Facebook as well. facebook.com/Nugs Country. Bringing you the very best in professional wrestling interviews. Backstage ribs. Road stories. If you heard about it, professional wrestling, you heard it here first. Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast with Joey Nugs and Big Country. And now, on to the show.
Well, we're live. Another wonderful episode of Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast with my one and only great co-host, Big Country. Big Country, how you doing, brother?
Not too shabby, you know, kind of a cold day at work, but, you know, I'm here at home, it's warm, and we're doing Nose Country, so, you know, I'm in a good mood.
You ain't lying, it's colder than a witch's tit out there. I've seen Superman trying to catch a cab. Woo! They say it's going down to 21 degrees here in South Carolina, and I don't know, but that's the day that hell froze over here.
I guess winter decided to finally make an appearance.
Yeah, old man Winter showed up, and he kicked in my back door. Good Lord. Things are going great. How was your weekend? Talk to me. We're getting into a new year here.
It wasn't bad, you know. Did a little wrestling Saturday, but, you know, got a big show coming up in 2 weeks on January 16th for SWA Pro Wrestling, where I will be wrestling the one and only New Age Enforcer, James Drake, once again, putting my Southern States title on the line. But, you know, I've just been living, man. It's all I can do right now.
I had a great New Year's. I got drunk. I didn't get laid, but I tried to. That didn't happen, but sometimes that's just not in the cards. I got wonderful. Check this out. One of the three wrestlers that I've never managed, that I've always wanted to manage, I get a chance to manage this Saturday night in Concord, North Carolina for OSWA Wrestling. I'm gonna manage Damian Wayne. Now, that I've never managed Damian. I've worked across the ring from him, but I've never managed him, so it's going to be great. He's one of my good buddies, so. And you know Damian, he's never the loss of words, so we're going to have a blast Saturday night.
Yeah, Damian's an awesome guy, man. He's a great talent. I mean, former NWA champion, AIWF heavyweight champion. I mean, I've seen the guy personally work for a few companies that I've worked for, and, you know, always well-spoken, really good guy. You know, I've never had anybody ever have a crossword to say about him.
It ought to be a great event. They're doing a question-and-answer training seminar. From 1 to 5 p.m. Admission's only $40 to go see the meet and greet and meet all the celebrities. It's going to be at the Concord Moose Lodge, 360 Moose Lodge Road in Concord, North Carolina. So I'm going to bring some moose ears, and hopefully I can blend in and they won't see me out there trying to get my cheat on.
I don't know. With the loudness of those suits you'd be wearing, I don't think it's going to be hard to find you.
I'm wearing a brand new suit this weekend, too. I got my clothing endorsement sent me the George Thorogood Bad to the Bones suit coat, the same one he wore in the music video with the rips. It's the rattlesnake skin. Man, that is a badass jacket. I can't wait to rock that bad boy this weekend. I'm taking pictures with that one to throw on the website. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great show. We got the Southern Savior, John Schuyler, going to be calling in. We got freaking wrestlers booked all the way through February. Some of the people I've already got booked. It's going to be phenomenal. I got Tully Blanchard and Ric Flair's former manager, Baby Doll, booked. I've already booked Damian Wayne's going to be coming up. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hall of Famer from WWE, is going to be coming on. The Boogeyman from WWE, that eats the worms, he's going to come on. I don't know how much talking he does, but he might scare us over the phone. I'm in negotiations with Chili Willy from ECW. He's actually living now over in the Philippines, so he's going to call us from the Philippines if he can work it out, and that's going to be phenomenal. Nobody has ever had him out on a shoot video or a shoot interview ever, and that man has done some phenomenal things. The man was an Iraqi veteran. He ran it. He was like the real deal. Forrest Gump was running into and grabbing people up and running and getting shot while he was carrying people, all his soldier pals, to safety. So he's the real deal. And I'm going to tell you, he is a guy I've always told, Chili, we're cool as a fan, but if I ever had a fight, you watch your nuts. I'm kicking you in the balls and I'm going to try to run because you're a monster. So,
man,
what you're
trying to tell me is we have WWE legends, WWE legendary valets, international stars. I mean, geez, What more do you want out of a podcast?
And, I mean, we're also bringing in some of the greatest indie talent. We got James Drake coming up next week, which I don't know if you people have ever seen. I know you have, and I have. But if you've never seen James Drake, he's one of the wrestlers that you look at him, you'd say, okay, he looks kind of whatever. But then he goes out there and wrestles and will make your mouth fall. Like, wow, how's a guy that big do that kind of stuff? So, I mean, he's one of those guys.
He's basically the epitome of don't ever judge a book by its cover.
You got that right, brother. He really is that type of guy, and he'll make you go wow when you see him live. So that's going to be phenomenal. So the new year is going to be a great year here at Nugget Country Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about the competition, but they're going to have to catch up with us, because I'm telling you, I don't think anybody so far in the Indies and the Carolinas for a podcast has had that type of stars coming on. So
I'll tell you what, man, I'm going to
work at the bottom.
Anybody that's been living under a rock that doesn't know John Schuyler, I've known John Schuyler since, you know, basically when he first started. 2015 was the year of Schuyler, from, you know, TNA, you know, being on their highest, you know, their biggest pay-per-view, you know, all the success he's had, the PWX Heavyweight Championship, defended it multiple times, being on NXT with his tag team partner Corey Hollis. I mean, there isn't anything this kid hasn't done. I mean,
He's been on TNA. He's been on WWE. The man traveled over to Japan and wrestled over in Europe. I mean, he's been there. He's doing it. Why someone hasn't grabbed him up and gave him a major job? I don't know. Maybe there's just a lot of people trying to get that big job. But he's ready for prime time. I'm telling you. And I'm not telling
tell you
just because he's a friend of mine. He's ready.
Well, he's one of the. I mean, anybody that's ever seen this kid work, And he just walks out there and consumes the attention of the crowd just by his presence. He knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
I love watching that boy be a heel, because he's probably one of the greatest heels in the Indies right now. So, you know, anybody that has been living under a rock, you know, make sure you tune in and listen, because, you know, this is going to be, you know, there's a lot of stuff I want to ask him. There's, you know, a lot of stuff I want to know about his trips and, you know, his experiences and everything. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really good interview.
That would be a great interview. I was sending messages. You know, he travels so much. I mean, the guy, I think he works like four or five, six nights a week traveling all over the place wrestling. So we were sending text messages back and forth, and he told me he's really amped about the interview. He said there's nothing that we can't ask him, but there's no kayfabe, and he says he's open book for anything. So we'll have a great interview when he shows up. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, most definitely.
And, yeah, I'm really amped for this interview. I'm going to tell you, some of the other interviews, Chris Hamrick was a phenomenal interview. Went for 2 hours last week. The week before that was the Insane Lumberjack Timber. Timber even sent me text messages saying he listened to the Chris Hamrick interview and thought it was phenomenal. So he goes, keep doing what you're doing. So who knows? I mean, we got some, a bunch of people are listening.
Yeah, anybody that's ever gotten to work in the locker room with Chris Hamrick or across the ring from the guy, you know, the guy is full of, you know, of knowledge and stories. And I mean, like I said, he's a guy, you know, he may be a little up there in age, but he can work circles around anybody. You put him in there against the youngest kid with the greatest cardio, and he'll work circles around him. But he knows what he's doing. He'll make you look like $1 million. He wrestled me and made me look like, you know, maybe not $1 million, maybe 500,000, but you know, that was a tough task to do, and he was able to do it. You know, you're getting only the best on Nugget Country, man.
We've got some callers on the line. Hello, callers. Who we have on the line?
Hi.
This is
your
Dustin.
Guest.
This is John Schuyler.
How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Great. Who else
on
the line?
I guess nobody.
Oh, hello.
We have someone with a 423 area code. Go ahead, 423 area code. Who is that?
This is Dustin. I'm a big wrestling fan, and I just noticed you got a great show. And if you ever want to talk about national wrestling, that'd be really interesting too, not just local Carolina wrestling.
That's good stuff because we're definitely doing that. We got some up and coming big names coming up. We got coming up on the show. We got the Boogeyman going to be coming up on future episodes. We got all kinds of wrestlers coming up from Hacksaw Jim Duggan scheduled to coming up next month. So it's going to be phenomenal. Stay tuned, Dustin. Where is 323 area code? What state are you in?
I'm in the Volunteer State, Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee. So we got listeners in Tennessee. Good stuff. I appreciate you calling in, Dustin.
Okay, thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, brother. Sorry about that, John Schuyler. We had someone calling at the same time you did. Fan. That's phenomenal.
That's okay. I'll accept that here on your radio show. It's good.
Good deal. So, John, how are you today, sir? How's your New Year started so far?
So far, my New Year's has been great. How have you guys been?
Doing great. Bookings are falling out from the sky, so it's been a blessing at my end. Big Country said he's booked through next year, so I guess everything's going lovely at our end. I'm just getting over the hangover from New Year's, so it was a heck of a party. You should have been there, John. I sent you an invite.
Yeah.
Mama Nuggs made homemade wine, and it was pretty wicked.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I try to stay away from the homemade wine. That those hangovers last more than just one day. So,
so John, we got you on the line, and I was really looking forward to this interview. I mean, I'm not saying that just because you're here blowing smoke at you or nothing. You are, if you ask me, one of the best talents in the Indies, if not in pro wrestling, period, right now. And why one of the big companies hasn't grabbed you up yet, I guess they're working in slow motion. I think they need to get on the ball because I think you're a phenomenal talent. We were just talking about that before you came on the line.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me, and thank you for the kind words, as always. I've known both you guys for a long time, so I'm excited to see what 2016 holds, and it's just about being in the right place at the right time, you know, try not to get discouraged, and maybe something will happen here soon. So, but thank you for having me on the show, and I'm looking forward to answering some questions.
Definitely. Let's get started. Let's start at the beginning of John Schuyler's career. How did John Schuyler get into pro wrestling?
Well, Nuggs, you probably already know this, but I'll tell the fans or whoever the listeners at home. I started by going to shows with a buddy of mine from college named Todd, and we were going to various independent shows around the Columbia, South Carolina area, mostly CWA, which is still up and running in Orangeburg. And one day I decided, because I was going to school at South Carolina, that I kind of wanted to pursue wrestling just because I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. So it was something I've always been passionate about ever since I was a kid. And I would say probably spring of 2008, I actually started going and getting in the ring before shows with Insane Lumberjack Timber, your first guest that you had on Nuggs Country. And he was the first one to actually show me some fundamentals and show me the basics and things like that. But then I realized that you're only going to get so much done before a show in the ring because there's so many guys that need the ring for various reasons. So I decided that I needed to go to a school where I can, you know, really spend some time, you know, honing my craft and all that. And that's where I kind of got linked up with Bob Keller and started training out at his school in Gaston and was out there 3-4 months. And then I started traveling with him, and then I started having my first couple matches. So My first match was actually in July of 2008. I can't believe it's been that long already. And that was in Big Bear Lake, West Virginia.
Big Bear Lake. Now, is that a big town, or is that just got a big sound of name to it?
It's got a big, I don't know if that's a big sounding name or not, but it's not a very big town at all. It's actually like a, almost like a family campground type atmosphere, and it's up there in the mountains of West Virginia. So I don't think, are there any big towns in West Virginia?
I don't know. Roanoke, is that in West Virginia or Virginia? I don't know.
I know that area
up there is full with wrestling fans in West Virginia. I mean, you're talking about hillbillies, and they love pro wrestling, so you probably have a rowdy crowd out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're a rowdy bunch, and they always come out in masses, and it's always a good time up there. So
who did you wrestle in your first match?
I wrestled a guy by the name of I wrestled a guy by the name of Bill Bain, who is a veteran up there, and I still actually keep in contact with Bill here and there, and you know, I think he's still up there doing shows and things like that. But it was a 3-minute match. I was actually not supposed to even be on the show because somebody or a couple guys, anyways, they had no showed. So I just happened to be there, and they let me borrow people's gear and all that kind of stuff, and I had a 3-minute match with Bill Bain and got my ass kicked, and it was off to the races ever since.
Nice, nice. Now, when did you start out before you became a wrestler as a fan? That's how a lot of wrestlers start.
Was I a wrestling fan growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a huge wrestling fan growing up. I mean, my earliest memories are like G.I. Joe and Batman and wrestling. And so I kind of grew out of the other things, and I never really grew out of wrestling. But from an early age, I was a big fan of like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect. And of course, like, you know, the Pipers and the Hogans and the Warriors and Randy Savage and people like that always got my attention too. And I just was drawn for whatever reason to, you know, like Michaels and Hart and Perfect and those guys, because I mean, honestly, as a kid, I didn't know what good wrestling probably was, but at the same time, I think they still looked cool, and when they were coming out, you know, they had colorful outfits and all that kind of stuff. So I just thought all three of those guys were really cool.
Now, I've watched you many a times wrestle, both as a face and a heel. Don't get me wrong, you're a great face. You get the crowd behind you. But to me, something about you, you're more of a natural heel to me. What do you prefer to wrestle as, or does it make a difference?
I don't know. I think I can relate more of my real personality, or that comes across better when I'm a heel, just because I don't know. I just think it's more me. It's more fitting, and it's also way easier to get people to dislike you than it is to get people to like you. And that doesn't go for wrestling. That goes for everyday life. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just feel much more comfortable as a heel. But it also depends, you know, on the town too. You know, some places, you know, being a babyface is actually kind of fun. And plus, I like to sell a lot of gimmicks. Selling gimmicks is always fun. Making money is always fun. So, when that comes to that being the issue, yeah, I love working babyface.
Big Touch, I'm not trying to monopolize the whole interview, so feel free to jump in anytime, brother.
Oh, no, man. I'm having fun sitting here listening, man, because, we've known each other for a long time, you know. I think John probably gave me my first concussion with a chair shot. I don't know if you remember that one, John.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember it. You remember it. I can't believe you
remember
it.
Well, you know, my memory fades in and out every once in a while, but I do remember I had my arm spread. I think Eric Adams was holding one arm and John Malice was holding the other. And Skyler says, spit in my face. I said, okay. So I spit in his face. And next thing I know, I was wearing a chair as a hat.
I actually paid him to do that to you that night. You don't know about that, Big Country. I was pissed at
you. Well, you got your money's worth.
I paid him to do that. No, I'm just joking. I didn't pay him. He did it for free. No, I'm just drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, I didn't do it for free, but, yeah, there might have been some money there for Thugs that kind of got passed under the table for that one. But, no, I have a lot of fond memories of those early days, especially in Chester, where you're wrestling every Friday night, things like that. And, you know, I remember that match in particular because it's like, here I am, you know, maybe 180 pounds at the time, and it's like, how do I beat this big monster? So we had about, what, 10 guys run in and beat the crap out of you, and they held your arms, and that's when I waffled you with a chair. So,
yeah, hey, you know, good times had by all that night.
Oh yeah.
But nah, yeah, I've got to know Skyler from, you know, when he first started, you know, just a young guy in the locker room, and I've seen him, you know, win Rookie of the Year and Cruiserweight of the Year, and then, you know, just go on to bigger and better. I mean, 2015, man, if 2016 is any smidge bit better than 2015, man, you're going to have a blast, because, I mean, everybody knows from, like I said, from, you know, what's that, Impact to NXT to PWX Heavyweight Champion, you know, wrestling all the guys from, you know, Cedric Alexander to Gunner to everybody. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I've seen you go from start to where you are now, man. I'm proud to say that I know you and that I've been in the ring with you. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best for you, you know, from here on out.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate all that, and thank you for the kind words. Yeah, I've just been really blessed, man. And, again, a lot of it is just being in the right place at the right time. And, you know, I've gotten 2015 was awesome. You know, I got to wrestle a lot of guys that are on my bucket list. I got to wrestle in Asia. I got to do all these things. And hopefully, if that's any indication, 2016 is going to be even better.
Sweet, sweet. So you're on the road like 24/7. You've been to Europe. You've wrestled, what, Japan, right?
Well, I actually haven't wrestled in Japan. I wrestled in China.
Canada.
I wrestled in Canada. But I wrestled, when I was in Asia, I wrestled in China, Hong Kong, and Singapore. So I actually haven't hit Japan yet, but that's always been a goal of mine. But, yeah, Asia, Europe, and Canada, and then all over the U.S., so...
Now tell me, what's the difference in wrestling over in Asia comparison to here? Is there a big one, big difference?
Oh, yeah. There's a huge difference, especially now wrestling is obviously more well-known in Japan, but where we were in China, Hong Kong, and Singapore, they don't really get any kind of wrestling at all over there. So it's almost starting like as a fresh start over there for them. So you can almost, you know, really put an emphasis on the rules and things like that. And I wouldn't say it's going to sound bad. You almost don't have to work as hard to become invested in a match. But, you know, we still all went out there and busted our asses. Don't get me wrong, but,
right.
Yeah, it's just fun because, you know, you, as a heel, you go to step out of the ring and just kind of lunge at a fan and they all run off in different directions. It's really cool because, you know, they don't know what wrestling is. So it's so much fun. It gives you that, here I am, you know, only not even 6 feet tall, and I feel like Bruiser Brody over there. So it's fun stuff, man.
Well, you know, you got to think the fans aren't, you know, the fans around here and the ones that are in well-known places where wrestling is known at are kind of numb to just the regular stuff. They're so used to seeing the death-defying, high-flying, you know, got to kill myself to get the spot done. You know, it's got to be awesome to go to places where it's not really that well-known because then you can do, you know, the old-school style matches and not have to try to kill yourself and just get a tiny little pop out of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, the other thing that was really cool was I was actually the only American on this particular tour, so I got to give them a dose of the American style. And I was the only one to do so. So everybody else was either Asian or from Europe. So you saw a lot of that European influence, a lot of that, you know, Japanese strong style stuff. And then you had me kind of over there doing the American style, which is a lot more character based and things of that nature. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun, man. I got to work with a lot of great guys and, you know, China is not the best country as far as living conditions go, but I still had a blast nonetheless.
Nice, nice. So where else did you go? You left China. Where'd you go in Europe then?
In Europe, I've been pretty much all over the UK, England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and I think that's probably it. But pretty much all over the United Kingdom and England and stuff like that. But I've done two tours now over there in Europe, and I think I was over there 12 weeks the first year and 10 weeks the second year. So,
wow.
You know, it's just a lot of wrestling, and I like to compare it to, like, you guys remember the old territory days, how it used to be in the States. I mean, I feel like England's still maybe like a dying territory. Well, it's not dying.
Wow.
It's very much doing well, but out of the territories that are passe now, you know, England's still very much a territory because you can go over there and you can wrestle almost every single night, especially during the summertime.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, and then there's double shots and even triple shots on some days. So, I mean, there were times when we'd wrestle 10 to 12 times in 5 days. So,
Jesus.
Nice.
Very much so, you know, a territory.
Nice. Now, being over there, were you able to work the same wrestler, more than one time and get a feel of the different styles of the European style comparison to American style?
I got to wrestle tons of different guys over there. Another thing that was cool is I was over there for a guy named Brian Dixon, who's been a promoter for probably 40 years now. I think he's the second longest running wrestling promoter in the world behind Vince McMahon.
Wow.
And, I mean, he's been running shows for 40 years. He's guys like William Regal and Fit Finley and all those guys started over there with Brian Dixon. So, and then a lot of the guys you see on TV now, your Sheamuses, your Wade Barretts, you know, even Daniel Bryan, everybody's done time for Brian Dixon and they have a good Brian Dixon story. But Brian uses guys from not just Europe, but he also uses guys from Japan, from Mexico, from United States. He brings all sorts of different talent in from all over the world. So, yeah, I became accustomed to that British style and was very much, like, comfortable doing that. But also there might be a day when I end up wrestling a luchador from Mexico. So it was very much the best learning experience you can have is wrestling every night.
Right.
I mean, I just felt like, especially when I came back from that first tour, my mind felt sharp, and I felt like, you know, I could go out there and have a good match with anybody when I got back stateside because, you know, I've been doing it every night. So it's just, I think that's where I really started to notice an improvement in my work and my skills.
I think honestly, when we seen you post on Facebook that you were going over on tour, and you showed respect to all the mentors that helped you getting there, I'm going to tell you something. That's something in professional wrestling you don't see anymore, the respect. And I'm going to tell you something. That day, Timber, being one of my best friends and mentors, told me, you know what, that guy has respect. That guy gets it. And that coming from Timber, that was a huge compliment. But he was telling the truth. You get it, dude. Some guys out here just travel forever and a day on the road, and they just never seem to get what wrestling's about. You get it.
Again, thank you very much. You know, I feel like I've surrounded myself with some of the best guys to learn from, too, so that's always very helpful. And the thing is, too, and I tell guys this all the time, I just did a show on Saturday, and a bunch of guys were asking me after the fact if I saw their match, and I said, well, no, I'm kind of putting mine together, and they were like, you know, I was like, you should have asked me to watch it beforehand, and I would have definitely watched it, or if you got it videotaped, feel free to send it to me, and I'll gladly watch it. And one of the guys was like, well, I didn't really want to bother you, and I'm like, no, come bother me. Like, if you want me to watch it, I'll watch it, and I'll tell you what I think. But, you know, if you're willing to ask questions and also willing to listen, people will be willing to help out, and that's the one thing that I've always kind of tried to keep in mind. You know, anytime I see maybe somebody with more experience in the locker room than me, I always try to kind of pick their brain a little bit and use it to your advantage. I mean, it's on the job training every night when we go out there, so you might as well try to get better while you're doing it.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone and ask for help from somebody that's higher on the totem pole, then, I mean, closed mouths don't get fed. But you've got to be respectful. That's what I've always discovered.
Yeah, absolutely.
To those guys. And I mean, it's crazy to say this now, but I remember when you got started, I look at you like as one of the vets in the locker room. I know if they give you a match, they could put you out there with anybody, and you'd be able to carry the match, and you know what you're doing out there.
Yeah, well, thank you again. That just comes from guys, guys like Timber and Lodi and even Bob Keller and, the Josh Magnums and the Malachis and everybody that I started with, Chris Hamrick. I could go on and on and on, and I don't want to because I'll forget somebody and I'll make somebody mad. But, that's just where it comes from.
Speaking of Chris Hamrick, he was a guest last week, and he told me that when you come on this week's show, it's your job to put him over. So I'll pass on information to you.
I always put over Chris Hamrick, and he's my best friend other than Corey Hollis. So, I love Chris. Man, Chris used to mess with me unmercifully on the road, and I remember a time in particular. We went to Warner Robins, Georgia, and I mean, from the time I picked him up to the time I dropped him off, he just he would not leave me alone. He was just in rare form all day long. I'd be driving, of course, because he didn't drive. I don't know if he still doesn't drive or what his deal is, but I drove the whole way to Warner Robins. And every exit we pass, it's, all right, Skyler, get over. This is our exit. So I get over, and he's like, what the hell are you doing? So I get back over, and he says, what are you doing? That was our exit. This went on for 3+ hours. And
classic.
Even when we get to the actual place where the show is, there's a gentleman out front that had, a red polo work shirt on or whatever because it was like he worked at the place where the show was. And Chris goes, hey, look, they got valet parking. And so I'm like, what, really? And I'll go to pull up to ask the guy to park the car. And Hamrick goes, no, you idiot, park your own car. He goes, it would have been great, though, to watch you give your keys to that guy. He would probably just drove off with a brand-new car.
Yeah, if you ask me, Chris Hamrick is the king of the ribs. That one man that can pull more ribs and make you laugh is Chris Hamrick. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's definitely one of them, yeah. But, there's never a dull moment around Chris Hamrick, ever. And he just loves wrestling, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. You
well,
can
not
call
anymore,
somebody
he
that's out there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
No,
he
still loves wrestling.
Fantastic.
Yeah. all right. So we've gone through Europe. We've gone through London. You come back to the States. I know you've done what NXT now. Tell us about your NXT
yep.
experience.
Well, I've done a handful of things with WWE before, and here recently, my good buddy who I used to team and travel with, Steven Walters, who's now known as Dash Wilder, is down there doing very well with Scott Dawson. They're the NXT Tag Team Champions. And I just got a text from him out of the blue one day, and he said, hey, you need to send some info to this guy. And so I passed along just some 8x10, some information about where I'd worked and things like that. And then, less than an hour later, they were booking us for the first taping. So it was just really cool, man. The thing I really love about NXT is the locker room is very much a team, and it's a very much a team environment. Everybody wants to succeed. They want to see NXT grow, and the crowds down there are awesome. It's just been a blast, man. It's been a lot of fun being a part of it, especially because I think it's, arguably the most talked about brand in wrestling right now. So it's fun to just be a small part of that,
Heck yeah. How many times have you been down there with them?
I've done 2 tapings so far.
2 tapings.
First time, both times I teamed with my buddy Corey Hollis, and we went down the first time and wrestled Dash and Dawson. And then the second time we wrestled Enzo Amore and Big Cass.
Nice. So they have plans of hopefully bringing you back, right?
Yes, that's the plan, hopefully. So,
dude, I hope that plans out for you, dude. I think 2016 is the year of the Skyler. I ain't bullshitting. I think this is your year, dude. I really think this is your year. You're due, dude. I see a lot of cats, and I look at cats. I said that cat should be on television right now, and you're one of those cats, dude. And so I think that's going to be, man, that's phenomenal, dude. I hope I give you all the freaking blessings in the world on that, dude.
Thank you, man. So, I appreciate it.
It's a rough business.
It's a rough business, but it's also, you know, I always thought it was very cliche when I would hear this, you know, about being in the right place at the right time, but really that's all it is, man. You know, I used to ask myself all the time, you know, how come so-and-so isn't signed? And, you know, I would try to compare myself to other people in the locker room, and you just can't really think of it like that. I mean, it's really, as crazy as it sounds, it's really just being what they're looking for at a particular time. And hopefully, you know, this is just the start of something great for me and for Corey, too. So I know we're both excited about going back down there.
I hope so, because, I mean, that's one thing. When you're talking about getting ratings, you're looking for new talent that could get ratings. I think you guys would do phenomenal if you give it a shot. Because I'm seeing other people I've seen other people, you know, that they're giving a shot, and I'm actually getting to see them, you know. Like, we got to see Roughhouse Ryan O'Reilly go on. And work with NXT and go on, you know, be part of the Ascension. I thought that was awesome to see somebody I used to work in a locker room with, you know. I've seen Gunner go on and work at TNA, so I think that's been phenomenal, you know, to see different wrestlers I know. And I can say, I know that guy, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome, dude, because, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit it. I am a wrestling fan. I love wrestling, and it's just the way it is. We got a caller calling in here on the line. Let's see who it is. Okay, caller, we got a caller on there. Hello?
Yeah, you talking to that damn John Schuyler bitch.
it's my number one fan.
I'm doing a run-in on you, boy.
I'm gonna give you the hot tag here in a second.
Right.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Well, for you,
what's going
for
on,
you,
those?
More
what's
like
going
a,
on, country?
For you, more, it's more like a
what's
mediocre that? Warm tag.
Yeah, right.
We're doing great, brother. How you doing? Okay, people don't recognize that voice. That's Timber, the Insane Lumberjack. And that's great.
Only on the weekends.
on the weekends, yeah.
So what's going on?
I figured you'd be working the Madison Square Garden tonight, man. What are you doing talking to these guys?
Well, you know, I had to set a small window of time out of my busy schedule if I'm talking to the guys.
Right.
He tries to help us.
Yeah.
He tries to put over us little people from time to time.
Hey, man, he's just trying to give you guys the rub right now. Just let him rub
he
you.
He is. He's putting us little people over. We understand that. We're not worthy. So, Timber, you got Skyler on the line. Anything you want to say to him, or are you just going to bust his balls?
Yeah, I mean, I hate this little prick. You know, I just can't stand him. You know, he's talented. You know, I just can't stand him. You know,
I
love you, man.
I heart you on occasion, too.
Right.
Especially when we split hotel rooms together.
Hey, only on occasions. Hey, man. Let me tell you my little John Schuyler story, man. I don't know what you guys have talked about so far. I'm not trying to eat up your time, man. I know this is your moment to shine here. But
go ahead.
We got a lot of time. Go ahead.
We're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'm in the ring working out a little bit, believe it or not. and these two dudes, man, these two guys that I always see at these shows, I mean, sitting front row, man, they got their signs and all kind of shit, right? I mean, they're waiting. And this dude's one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it, man. I think, Skyler, did I ask you to get in the ring, or did you ask me to get in the ring?
The way I remember it is you looked over at us because I think we were still – at the time, too, we were also helping set up and things like that. I think we were just kind of at a moment where nothing was really going on, and you kind of looked over at us, and you're like, hey, y'all want to get in the ring? So we were like –
That's a good Timber.
I mean, I need a
impression right there, by the way.
Man.
Yeah. So, yeah, you asked us if we wanted to get in the ring. And so I was like, hell yeah. So, yeah, I jumped all over it.
Right. I mean, from there, man, dude, history.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to put your balls or nothing online, man, but good stuff. We're proud of you. You know, you went from holding a damn piece of cardboard to making something of yourself. And you're not done yet either. That's the good thing.
Yeah, no, no signs of slowing down yet. So I'm just happy you took the time to show me some fundamentals.
Hold on real quick, man. Vince is calling me. Never mind, dude. Dude, I hardly ever get to talk to you. Fuck Vince. Fucking, he can wait. Anyways,
yeah.
Go ahead, man. What were you saying?
Yeah, so I'm done putting you over. If we're telling stories, we can tell a story about the time I super kicked your little eye ring out or whatever it is, your eyebrow ring or whatever you gave me.
No, that's story. Tell that one.
What are you talking about? hold on. Got another call.
This is
Skylar. This is your mom. I got to go. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Okay. yeah. Nah, anyways, I just super kicked Timber really hard one night in Orangeburg, and his eye ring or whatever you wear in your eyebrow just went flying off. It was really cool.
Dude, you got to pay for that type of extra features. Eye rings getting knocked out. Skylar, you do a good Timber impression. We're going to call his old lady at 3 in the morning one night talking shit.
Yeah.
He's going to be sleeping next door in the bed when you call in.
Yeah. We can definitely make that happen.
Rip. That's not phenomenal. So Timber jumped off the line, we see here. So we're back to our conversation already in progress.
Hey, let me bring one thing up, Nugs. Skylar, I remember, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the invisible choke slam.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad to see that there's somebody. I mean, people want to go see Chikara and stuff like that and watch him kill the business. You know, that's fine with them. But it's stuff like that that, I mean, we all have to work so hard to make people think that we're real nowadays. And to watch crap like that, it's just like you just want to reach through the screen and smack the shit out of both of those guys for thinking that was a good spot.
Don't hold back,
yeah.
Man. Let it out, man. Don't hold back. Let it all out, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying there's not a place for comedy in wrestling. I think, like anything, like I consider wrestling like a circus. So I think when done in the right amount of doses, anything that can be good for it. But, you know, you got guys out there doing things like slow motion spots, and you got guys doing invisible choke slams or selling the invisible hand grenade or whatever the case may be. And it's just like, all right, you know, the business is, you know, we ain't going to kick it while it's down. You know what I'm saying? So it just gets to be a little much. Like, it's almost like we should be progressing the business along. And when stuff like that happens, it's almost like we're digressing or we're going backwards. And
you take 2 steps forward and 10 steps backwards.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember a case in particular. Somebody came up to me and Gunner one time, and we were doing like this 8-man tag, and they pitched this idea of doing a slow motion spot, and me and Gunner just laughed at each other and said, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Because, I mean, that just defies all logic to me. And I get it. Like, the fans want to be like, haha, you know, that's funny. But figure out a different way to make them laugh other than insulting, you know, what guys have literally – we've literally had guys die in the ring, you know, and die for our business. Why can't we why do we have to do stuff like that? You know what I'm saying? You know, why can't we just take it a little bit seriously?
It's just like the last time I was, you know, had the pleasure of being able to step in the ring with you. You came up with the Big Show William Regal spot, the power of the punch spot. Now, that is comedy, but it's believable comedy. Now, no, do you know which spot we're talking about, right?
What's that?
You remember how William Regal used to do the gimmick where he'd knock people out with the nucks and call it the power of the punch?
Yeah.
Well, there was a spot one time he did it with Big Show, but the bad part about it was when he hit Big Show, he leaned off the rope, so when he fell forward, knocked out, he fell on top of William Regal, William couldn't do nothing because he was 500 pounds and he got his shoulders counted down to the three. Now, me and Skyler got to work, I think it was early last year, and he decided to come up with that spot. And let me tell you, it was awesome, but what made it even better was Steven coming out there and just the way he sold everything. You're killing my friend and holding you like a little baby. And it was just, you were like traumatized. It was, I had to do everything I could to keep from laughing. I mean, it was just, that's the type of comedy that is believable and I think is all right for the business.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not like, you know, we didn't, it would have been something different if we would have, like, if we would have done the spot and then we would all got up and then kind of looked at the crowd and winked and taken a bow. You know, then you're kind of like, you know, now they're part of the act. You know what I mean? And
right.
I think when
well, then it becomes theater instead of, you know, professional wrestling.
Right. And I think, you know, people see through that whenever people do the slow motion stuff or the invisible choke slam. It's just like, guys, the business is already on life support. We don't have to kick it while it's down. So what
can we do in professional wrestling to give it more credibility, I mean, than it has already? What can we do?
That's a good question. You know, right now I look at UFC, and I'm not saying we need to go out there and punch each other as hard as we can in the face and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, like, right now UFC is doing pro wrestling better than pro wrestling. And what I mean by that is there's always a jerk that talks crap before the fight that you want to see get beat up. And then there's the underdog that you want to see do the, you know, put the hurting on them. And then you also know that everybody is fighting for a potential title match. It's very simplistic stuff, but you can also still tie in, you know, personalities on guys and girls now too. And, you know, it's a very simplistic way of doing it. But I just think we need to get back to doing stuff that doesn't insult people's intelligence. Like, you know, I've heard people talk about it, you know, 1,000 times, like the 10 punch in the corner. You know, if I hit you 10 times in the face and I jump down and you're not bleeding, well, that either says that you've got the hardest head in the world or my punches suck. So if I can't knock you out with 10 strikes to the face, you know, why am I even trying to do it? You know, but I think that's just what it needs to be. I think we need to bring more credibility back to the business by not insulting people's intelligence.
That's
and
a great
it
answer.
It really starts too with social media. You know, I see so many guys get on social media now, and 30 minutes after a match, they're thanking the guy for the match on social media. It's like, guys, that's why we have a locker room. You can do that in the locker room. You know. Thank them there. You know, you don't have to get on Twitter and put me over and thank me for the match and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, because then it's just like, oh, or you get the classic, oh, I'm gonna fake fight with my buddy this weekend or post a picture of it. And it's the guys too. The guys are very much guilty of all this. And you know, I'm not saying I haven't done it either, but I mean, at the same time too, it's just like, if we treat it seriously, then people will start. I think start taking it seriously. If you treat it like a joke, people are going to take it as a joke.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, the social media thing. I mean, I thank guys on there, I ain't going to lie. But I love when guys are sitting there trying to, like, you know, work angles with each other on social media. But it's like, you know, one day you're like, oh, man, I'm going to get in the ring and I'm going to break your neck. And the next day you're like, oh, dude, happy birthday, man. How's the family?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I think social media, internet can be used well if used correctly. But if it's not, if you don't do it right, I mean, you're destroying yourself and shoot yourself in the foot with it. I mean, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I think, Timber, you're back on the line, right, Timber?
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to say,
your mom said she wanted you home by 10. Okay.
thanks for the update.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I was just gonna say that was one thing when Timber's not on social media at all. You can't find him anywhere on the internet.
I can't stand
it. And that's not by accident. He can't stand it. It's not for him.
Yeah.
And
I mean, at the same time too, if you're an insane lumberjack, should you be able to use a computer?
Right. A lumberjack's not gonna be on a computer, right?
Yeah.
You probably look at it like, what is this, and hit it with your axe handle wrapped with barbed wire, and like,
You don't see like somebody getting you don't see somebody getting on Twitter and putting Undertaker's entrance over and him replying back with LOL, thanks bro, or something like that. You know, I mean, it just completely right. kill the illusion. So,
well, I see. That's one thing I could say. I used to manage Chemo. I don't remember if you remember Chemo, but I used to watch Chemo on his Twitter, and I got to the point for a year and a half I didn't go on Twitter because he would just everything in the world. Went to Walmart today, going to TNA, spent $36. You know, I mean, certain things I just didn't need to know about. You ate waffles for breakfast. I don't need to know all these things. I mean,
right.
Yeah, well, the best one is when he went on there and said 40,000 miles put in this year traveling the shows, beat that. And what's his name? Not Matt Hardy. The guy that plays the superhero. I'm sorry, I can't
Shane
remember
Helms.
His name. Shane Helms
Shane
said
Helms.
40,000 as many times as you drop Matt Hardy's name. And I was like, oh. And that was after that when I stopped being on Twitter for a year and a half.
Hey, did he tweet about his match with Barbarian?
No, he didn't tweet about the Barbarian match. I mean, that's another story. I'm not, I can shoot. I told you the Barbarian match story. Yeah, well, he went.
Hey, listen,
he
man, I'm not going to let you guys sit here and talk about Chemo. I can't do that without me joining in. Let me tell you my story. I'm kidding.
I don't want to shoot on the guy. He's not here, but.
He's the only guy I ever saw, too, when he took his boots off was shorter than me.
Dude, he used to have high heels in his boots and lifts in the bottom of the boots. And that one time he was down at Myrtle Beach
man,
and took
man,
his boots
why you,
off.
Why are you calling him out like that, man?
He was shorter, shorter than the Hooters girls, man.
What did he ever do to you, man?
Nothing.
Well...
Dude, when he sees you, he's going to damn tongue and grip you in your throat hole, dude.
or my
okay,
knee,
I mean.
If he doesn't have his boots on.
He'll be afraid to show up to a lot of matches. He don't want to get hurt. If we're going to shoot on the guy, I could tell you shoot stories on that guy for days. So, I mean.
Well, dude, I mean, we're here to
Shall
talk
we?
About John Schuyler.
We're talking about John Schuyler now. We're not talking about the other guy. I'm sorry. But
we're here to put Schuyler over.
We're putting Schuyler over huge, man. I've never said somebody's name so many times that I wasn't dating. Wow, it's a rough one.
You know,
these days.
You know Nugs has a picture of you on his wall, right?
I do.
I heard it was a poster.
Yeah.
Well,
did
I didn't
pay
want
for
to tell the whole truth, man.
It's better. It's better than the story I told you on the Josh Magnum poster.
Oh my god, dude!
Did I ever say
that?
I don't think I've heard the story.
You want to hear my?
Let me tell you this story, man. So Nugs picks this chick up, right? He takes her back to her place. He's got her on her side, and he's on his side. And he's probably looking like a fucking walrus by this time. You know, he's just walking back and forth. You know? I mean, he's making the boys proud. You know what I mean? And he looks up, and this girl's got a damn fucking gigantic poster of Josh Magnum on her wall.
Oh, my gosh.
So
no,
wow.
This was the poster. Yeah, this was the poster that TapQ put out for – it was for the – They put out for the calendar. So Josh Magnum was dressed up for Christmas time but he had the Christmas hat on for Santa Claus, and he had the I love you he had the hang loose hand up, and I was like, I'm hitting it, and I was like, big Josh Magnum fan. She said, yeah, he's my favorite. I said, yeah, I like Josh. So while I'm waxing this, I'm looking, and Josh is giving me the yeah, brother.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, I'll see how you fit it.
You probably won't be you won't look at Josh Magnum the same after that. I'm sorry.
The funniest part about that whole story is that you even got laid, man. That was awesome.
What was his name?
Hey.
Yeah, what was his name?
Hey. I forgot. His name was Jim. I met her at the gym. No, actually, this was a chick that wanted to go out with. This was a chick that liked me because I managed Timber when I was in Columbia. So
I thought it was some dude named Ryan with John Tyler or something like that.
All right.
Hey, look, country, the last you time I'm not gay, only on Wednesday. I'm not gay. It's only on Wednesday, damn it.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Hey, country, have you ever worked John Tyler? Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he made even me look good, so, you know, I got to give the kid credit.
Bullshit.
Shit. I think our first match we actually worked together, we went over 20 minutes, and let me tell you, my fat ass, and as out of shape as I am, you know, he had to carry even my fat ass. I'm surprised he's even working anymore. He should have back problems for days.
Really? I find that hard to believe. Because fucking Ric Flair couldn't make you look good.
Well, shit.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. But seriously, what'd you think of Skyler? Was he easy to work with, or was he a little prick in the butt?
No, dude, he's a guy that loves to have fun. I mean, if you've ever been in the locker room with Skyler, you know, he loves to have fun. He does impersonations, you know, and he tries to make light out of stuff. But when it's time to do business, he knows how to do business. I mean, that's the best thing about him. You got a lot of guys that don't know how to, you know, shut it off when they go in the ring and do what they have to do. But, you know, the kid does.
He's one of the guys in the back I actually don't even really mind saying hello to, you know. That says a lot.
Well, thanks.
Well, you know, you're right.
Locker room. Long list of people.
Yeah.
You know, if you go into a locker room and you see Skyler in there, you're going to laugh, you know. You know that.
Right.
Timber has a term for people that usually don't stick around more than a couple times. They're called J-Brones, short for Jabronis. And he'll say, that's one of them J. He actually puts it up on tag team. J-Brones. I said, what the hell is that? He said, they're the Jabroni tag team that's getting beat tonight. I said, oh, okay, the J-Brones.
What the hell are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You're making shit
know.
Up again.
I'm making shit up again. I'm good
hey,
at
listen,
making stories up. I should work in wrestling.
Have you told the story, by the way, of us working each other, Skyler, with the ladders and shit?
No, that's a good one, though. Of course, we're working each other. I believe it was the culmination of a feud where we did the last man standing. And so we've got
which
weapons,
was a good program, by the way.
Oh, it was great. I had so much fun doing that. Working with
right.
you and working with Six, I think, are my best two things that I've ever done there at CWA.
Right on.
But we're working this match, and of course there's weapons in the ring. I know that's hard to believe with Timber being out there, he hooks me for a vertical suplex. Well, there's this fiberglass ladder that's just laying on the mat behind us, and as he hooks me for the suplex, he calls it, and I go, I'm like, dude, watch out, there's a ladder behind you. And he goes, yeah, you dumb fuck, you're going to bump on the ladder. And I'm like, okay. So, yep, I was picking fiberglass out of my back all night. That was a lot of fun. So,
it didn't hurt
I appreciate
all
that,
well.
Man.
Yeah, man, no problem. I appreciate you taking it.
I didn't have a choice.
Well, this is true, but I appreciate it just the same.
Yeah.
Look, man,
well,
you guys take
you
care.
Me over.
Yeah, anytime, man, you deserve it. If you didn't, I would never do so. Right on, man, you guys take care.
All right, Timber, we'll
bye,
talk
Timber.
To you later, brother.
Yep.
See you, too. And he's gone once again. This is phenomenal, man. You got one hell of a fan club. How much did you pay with these people to call in tonight, John Scully?
Oh, you know, just you slot a couple bucks here and there. You start a GoFundMe, and then all of a sudden people just start wanting to call in. So
everybody's got a GoFundMe nowadays.
Yeah.
I need to get some funds, too, and a go somewhere. I don't know. Anyhow, so let's continue on. It's been interesting so far.
Yeah.
So NXT. So you went NXT. You had a time at TNA too as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done a couple of things here and there for TNA. Back in 2012, I believe it was, I did a dark match for them when they were doing their tapings down in Orlando, and nothing really came out of that. I think at the time they were taking a look at me and Steven Walters together, because that's who my dark match is with, and I think it was D'Lo Brown that really took a liking to us and was trying to get us a job. But at the time, it was a weird kind of stage for TNA. I mean, Bischoff and Hogan were still there doing their thing, and then they had just hired Bruce Pritchard, and Bruce Pritchard had literally just started there. So also, there were like 10 to 15 people probably that were under contract still sitting at home. So I'm sitting there putting all this together in my head thinking, you know, if they've got 10 to 15 people sitting at home already, you know, why are they going to need to hire two more guys just to have on the roster just to sit at home? So I kind of saw it for what it was. I was still thankful for the opportunity and a chance to go down there. But I kind of saw it for what it was. And then here back in October when they did Bound for Glory in Charlotte, I found out I was going to be doing the dark match for that. And so that was a lot of fun too, because we did that in Cabarrus Arena, and that's a PWX, kind of a PWX arena / town. So I got a pretty good reception coming out, which was really cool.
Nice.
So you work with them. Now let's talk about PWX. I know that's
okay.
I've worked for them a couple times, but I've never worked with them since Brian Kanabrowski. I might be pushing his last name up. Kanabrowski's own it. I don't know, nothing personal, Brian, if you're listening. The company's a great company, got a great look to it, very well run, professional. Tell us about your experience with PWX so far.
So, it's funny, you know, the way the wrestling business works. When I first started there, I didn't really care for it at all. Like, I wasn't having what I would call, like, fun doing those shows. I was just doing them just to do them. I wasn't really a part of anything significant for probably a year or so. I was just kind of floating around working with this guy and working with that guy. And I'd get promised things as far as, this is before Brian even took over, I'd be promised things, you know, that would never come to fruition. And I was just to the point where I was like, you know, I'm just going to call it quits or whatever from PWX and then spend my time just working elsewhere. And then Steve Corino took over for a handful of shows for 4 or 5 months maybe. And I kind of told Steve that, you know, I was getting ready to leave for my first tour of England and I'd be gone for pretty much the whole summer, and he was happy for me and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't really have much of an intention on really coming back. But Steve came up with this idea, and it's one of the greatest things that I could have probably ever happened for me, was he came up with this idea of doing a shoot random tag team drawing to crown new tag team champions, because the tag team titles at PWX had been vacated, and so there were no champions. So we did a show one afternoon in Tremont Music Hall, and the fans, you know, they had all of our names in envelopes, all the wrestlers, and I think there were 16 of us or whatever, and the fans got to shoot pick the tag teams. So we had no idea who was going to team with who. And then there were some things that went on in the back to kind of to randomly pick who was going to go over in the matches and who was going to win the whole tournament. And I ended up getting paired with Jake Manning. And we, through the course of one show, where we just became like a thing where, you know, we played off of each other so well, me as the serious heel and then him as the comedic kind of baby face. And then we ended up winning this tag team tournament. Well, so now we're the PWX tag team champions. And now I'm going to be gone, and we're not going to be able to defend the titles because I'm going to be in England. So I take my half of the tag team titles with me, and Jake defends his half in the States while I'm gone. So this kind of stuff just really just wrote itself.
So when I come back from England, the first thing I do is I turn on Jake Manning, and we, you know, I cost us the tag team titles, and then me and Jake kind of did our thing, and we were off to the races there, and that's some of the most fun I've ever had was the program I had with Jake. But now I absolutely love working there. Ever since I got back from that first tour of England, I've just literally, I can't wait to go and find out what I'm doing or, you know, who I'm going to be working with, because it's like the whole company has just kind of stepped it up and ramped it up a notch to where, you know, everybody goes out there and busts their ass. You know, the crowds are always, you know, entertained or they're invested in the show. And the guys just, I mean, it's just an awesome locker room, top to bottom, first match to last. You know, there's just, I can't say enough good things about it. I mean, I just have so much fun, you know, being there. And I'm just, you know, again, blessed that they would think highly enough of me to give me a run with the title. So I've been having a blast doing that stuff too. And now, I mean, I'm doing the thing with Gunner and Country Jack. The four of us are together, man, and we're like a tight-knit group inside the ring, outside the ring. We travel together. We go out together. We work out together. And, I mean, it's just, it plays off so well in front of the cameras that, I mean, man, I'm just having such a blast.
Yeah,
you guys call yourself the experience, right?
Yeah, I watched the promo that was on where I think it was Corey Hollis was drawing a dime on the wall. I mean, that was,
yeah,
was brilliant. I'm like, that was
yeah,
that was unique. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the playoff off the name of the company, The Experience, because you guys are the experience of the company. I like that. It's a good play on words. So
yeah,
like,
we're the
good
X
name for a heel faction.
The X of, what's that?
Good name for a heel faction.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I remember the first promo we cut, we just kind of came up with it. We said we were going to be the X of PWX because we are the experience and we are what you paid to see. So,
nice.
So, yeah, I mean, we've just been, every promo we've done has just come to us. Like, and it's been all one take stuff that's just been completely natural, just us playing off of each other like we would behind, you know, if the camera wasn't rolling. So, I mean, I'm just having such a blast. All three of those guys are so talented. You know, Gunner, I think this is the perfect thing for him to do coming off of TNA. You know, I think he fits in well. And we've gotten a lot of comparisons to, like, a modern-day version of the Horseman, you know. You know, you got Gunner, who's kind of the big muscle guy, and then you got the tag team of Paige and Hollis, and then you kind of got me over here who's kind of doing his thing with the PWX title. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where it's going, too. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up.
Right, right. I can see that. I can see that storyline carrying you guys on for a year easy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Okay, you're also working with WrestleForce out of Columbia. Tell us about WrestleForce. That's been around for a while now.
Yeah, WrestleForce has been around 4 or 5 years now, and they recently just had a show in the Spires Rec Center back in December that drew the biggest house that we've ever had at the Spires Rec Center. I think it was over 250 people. And, you know, it's been fun to watch that company grow because I've been a part of it since day one, and I see where it started, and I've seen the ups and downs that it's gone through, and I'm enjoying seeing it now and seeing, you know, how everything keeps evolving and changing. And it's just a blast. You know, we got another show coming up there. I know coming up in February 21st, which is their biggest show of the year. It's like, it's called Aggression, and it's going to be in Swansea, South Carolina. So I'm excited for all that kind of stuff too, man. I really dig working there. You know, Bob Keller's got his hand in that, so he always looks for my input on a lot of things there. And, you know, Bob's got such a great mind when it comes to wrestling, and you know, he's somebody I'm glad to say that I've learned from.
Phenomenal. Now I got a segment here on the show. I started it last week with Chris Hamrick. I'd like to do it with you. It's called the Name Game. Sure, you heard it a million times. I say a name or a company. Tell me the first thing that comes to your head if you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris Hamrick.
Best friend.
Okay. Timber.
Hardcore lumberjack.
Gunner?
Passionate and somebody that pushes me to the limit. He's kind of like my my wrestling dad.
I can see that. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the one guys that would sit down and talk psychology with you for hours. I could see that. I could definitely see that. Adam Page.
He's somebody that is super talented now, but will be even more super talented or even making more headway or head, whatever the phrase is. He'll be making waves even more so in the next 5 to 10 years.
Corey Hollis.
Best friend.
Okay. Europe.
Europe. I'll just say it like this. That was pretty much my summer school of pro wrestling.
Okay. CWA.
Probably one of the diehard fan bases I've ever seen.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, those guys are diehard. They'll show up without knowing no more than that there's a wrestling show coming to town.
Right, and there's always a big house. Like, there's always people there.
Always a big house. Always a big house. WWE.
The pinnacle of pro wrestling.
TNA.
I don't know. That's a hard one. They've had to. They've been so close on so many occasions, and I think there's a lot of people internally and externally pulling for that company, and a lot of people want to see it succeed. So, I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but
that's kind of my thoughts. Abel Adams.
Oh my gosh, I love Abel Adams. on the exterior, he looks like somebody that could kill you with his bare hands, but on the inside, and he doesn't want anybody to know this, he's just a huge teddy bear.
That could kill you with his bare hands.
That could kill you with his bare hands.
Hey, no, do you mind if I throw one in there?
Sure.
Go for it, brother.
Now, this is a person, I don't know why, but he seems to have it out for you every time he posts anything about your end awards. Thomas Simpson.
I'll be honest. I don't know what Thomas's gripe is with me. Nor do I care. I mean, honestly, you're either going to make friends or you're going to make money. So right now,
man,
I'm done.
Is it because you didn't do the videos for him or the pictures?
Well, for one, you know, I'm not going to get into all that. But I think a lot of it is. If he doesn't have a hand in your success, then he's got a problem with you. I've never had to ask him for anything. So I guess that's his deal. I guess that's why he doesn't like me. I really don't know why he doesn't like me. You know, Shane Helms has asked me this tons of times, like, what did you do to Thomas to make him, you know, detest you so much? And I really don't know what the answer is. I don't know what I've done to him, but nor do I care because, you know, my career is doing fine, you know. And this doesn't go just for Thomas. It just goes for anybody that, you know, I'm sure there's more people out there that don't like John Skyler, and that's perfectly fine. It's not going to, at the end of the day, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think it's because you never had to ask for anything. You never had to be like, hey, man, you might give me some bookings or, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, so
right.
I think that's, I mean, I just, I can't stand it when you're like, anybody that's ever seen you work Gunner, you know, match of the year candidates every single time. You guys throw everything you guys have into that match, and no, everybody's, you know, left on the edge of their seats. And it's like he goes out of his way to trash you guys, and I just don't understand it, man. I mean, it's – but like I said, I think it's because, you know, you guys have never, ever had to ask him for anything, so it kind of pisses him off.
And I'll be honest, too, this is the first time I've ever even brought his name up publicly in anything. Like, if you go back and look through – I don't know if this is possible, but if you went through my Facebook post from 2008 to now – you know, you will not see Thomas Simpson's name one time anywhere on anything, in any kind of print that I've said. So that tells you right there who's got it out for who. So
yeah, he's. I could tell you a brief Thomas Simpson story. Kirby Mack was doing a shoot broadcast where he's doing videos. I'm sure you remember it.
Yeah.
He was doing a he was doing a name game, and he dropped Joey Nuggs, and he said, "Oh, fuck him." That's what he said. Yeah. Well, I seen him in PWX and Tremont, and I walked up to him, and I put my hand out, and I grabbed his hand, and I squeezed it. I said, "Oh, fuck him." I said, "You know, if I didn't know the business and I know it's all a work, I'd be upset." I said, "But I know it's all a work." And I squeezed his hand, and he goes, "Yeah, it's all a work." And then, like, 2 weeks later goes by, and he says, "People that get the business, Joey Nuggs, he just gets the business."
Yeah. Thomas is something.
I didn't punch you in the mouth, so I got the business. I mean, but that's as far as I go with Simpson. So, any other ones? Big Country. I got a couple more. I'm gonna ask.
You go ahead. That was the only one because, like I said, you know, I've seen him every time he does his year end awards. He always, you know, has to say some stupid shit about you and Gunner, and it's just really like, you know. You know, a lot of stuff he does rubs me the wrong way, but, you know, I guess it's just Thomas for you.
Teach his own. Yep.
Lodi.
Lodi is somebody that also kind of helped me get started as far as after I got done training, he kind of took me under his wing a little bit, and I always called him like my wrestling Yoda because I still kind of go to him for advice, not just with stuff about wrestling, but personal life and you know, fitness and, you know, gym and workouts. And, you know, if something's going on, you know I can always pick up the phone and call him or talk to him. And, you know, he's going to kind of give me the Yoda advice. So he's somebody that I also, you know, credit a lot with helping me, you know, get to where I am today.
Yeah, I agree. He is one of those guys that is a mentor type will pull someone aside and actually show you, not just tell you what you're doing wrong, but show you what you're doing wrong. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know you went out on the road with him, which was one of those ones that'll tune you up quick as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the type of guy. Let's see what else. I got a question for you. If you could go back in time, if you go back in time to any era in professional wrestling, what era would you go back to and why?
That's a good question. Top of my head, I would say probably the Attitude Era. Now, are you asking if I was a professional wrestler?
Yeah, like, if you had a chance to wrestle.
Yeah. I think the Attitude Era because everything was so hot and on all cylinders. You had three major companies in WWE, WCW, and ECW. You know, I could have definitely seen myself possibly bouncing back and forth between all three, you know, had I come up in that era, you know. And, you know, there was just so much of a national fan base. You know, wrestling was kind of at its peak, and everybody was watching everything. And, you know, if you couldn't work for WWE, you could go work for WCW, or you could go work for ECW. You could just bounce around and really make a good living off of everything. So I would have to say that is my number one, but it'd also be kind of cool to go back and work the territories, you know, in the 80s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, just because wrestling was still real back then. So either one of those two.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
Depends on the day. Depends on the day. And my answer kind of changes, you know, here and there. But
usually 9 times out of 10, I would probably say Shawn Michaels. To me, he was, you know, I idolized him as a kid. I just thought in ring he was unmatched as far as a performer in the ring. And, you know, he had so many great matches that you can't just, like, say, you know, he had one. You can't have one favorite Shawn Michaels match. It's almost impossible. So,
dream match, you could wrestle any wrestler, dead or alive, who would you wrestle? I like to think questions and ask questions that make you think.
Yeah, yeah, you really are doing a good job of that. I would say Shawn. There's a couple. Shawn Michaels, AJ Styles, who's still, you know, going. And then dead, probably like an Eddie Guerrero, somebody like that would have been awesome to step in the ring with.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, I want to ask, you got to wrestle one of the guys that, you know, I've loved. I mean, Shawn Michaels, of course, you know, number one. You got to wrestle Kevin Steen, man. Tell me how that was.
It was a blast. Kevin, this was right, I think, right before he was getting ready to take off for WWE. And, you know, he was great. We actually worked against each other, and we also tagged together, too. And, you know, it's really cool the day or the week he debuted on Raw and came out and did the thing with Cena was the night after I won the PWX title. So I made it a point on social media to post a picture of me taking the package pile driver. And I remember the caption like it was yesterday. The caption said, one of these guys is having the biggest week ever in professional wrestling, and the other one is Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I think I was at, I believe it was at Ziggy's. It was Jake Manning and the Hurricane versus you and Dean, wasn't it?
Yep, that's correct. And, you know, that was a blast, too. I like Kevin. I like him a lot. And even when I pop into him or run into him here and there, he's still – you know, he asks about PWX and how everything's going and stuff like that. He hasn't changed a bit. Still the same Kevin.
Yeah, and if rumors are true and, you know, they keep having you back there in NXT, somebody said AJ Styles is actually planning on signing with them. So, you know,
yeah,
maybe you
we'll
get
see,
to
man.
Have a chance with him. Did you get to watch that, the whole Bullet Club turn on him thing down in Japan?
I saw the quick clip of it of Kenny Omega, but I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I'm actually planning on sitting down as soon as I get off the phone with you guys and watching Wrestle Kingdom. So I'm excited to do that. So, but I actually got to step in the ring with the Bullet Club last year too, which was a highlight for me. Working with Gallows and Carl Anderson, you know, that was just a blast. And you know, it's so cool because the thing I love about, you know, the Bullet Club is they've made wrestling cool again. You know, and it's not something that a mainstream U.S. Promotion came up with. It's something from Japan. But that's, in a way, that's kind of the same way the NWO started. It came from an idea from Japan. So, but I love it because, you know, they're making wrestling cool again and, you know, everybody wants to wear the T-shirts and all that kind of stuff. You know, I give all those guys mad props.
Oh, man, I love their podcast. I don't know if you got to check that out.
I have here and there, yeah.
Oh, those guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
Any road stories or backstage ribs you can share with the listeners?
Yeah, there's a couple. I always have to be careful and tiptoe around some of these because they're incriminating. But, I'm trying to think of as far as good ribs and road stories. Okay, let me think here. One of my favorite, it kind of falls into both categories, me and my good friend John Malice and our good friend Michael Freely and somebody that was traveling with us, Eric Bradford. I wouldn't call him a good friend. He was just kind of there hanging out. We were all driving the roads together. We went from Knoxville, Tennessee to Baltimore, Maryland, and then we were going to go do a show in West Virginia. So we hit like 3 different towns in 2 or 3 days. And so we were hanging out after one of the shows one night, and we decided to go back to the hotel in Baltimore. And
you know, me and Malice and Freely all kind of like to stay up late and party and hang out and stuff like that. Well,
the free birds.
Yeah, the free birds, brother. And on this particular night, I think Malice had some heat with Freely over something. And so Malice was waiting to get his receipt, which means he was going to get his redemption or whatever. And so we get back to the hotel, and Freely passes out. And he is out cold. I mean, ain't moving a muscle, knocked out. So we decide to, you know, I kind of look at Malice, and I look at Bradford, and I go, well, I got a pair of Clippers in my bag. So we're like, oh, crap. So the first thing we try to do is we try to take off his eyebrows. And for whatever reason, like, he kind of flinched and woke up. So we didn't get the eyebrows, but we roadmapped the hell out of his head. And if people go to my Instagram account, at the John Schuyler, you can scroll through numerous pictures. And the picture of him with the Michael Freely with the roadmapped head is still on there. So
classic.
Yeah. So it was awesome. And the best thing was we took a picture, like there was this Brutus Beefcake action figure in our buddy's hotel room. So we had we held up Brutus Beefcake to make it look like Brutus Beefcake had cut his hair. And so the next morning we wake up and we all wake up and we can't find Freely. And we know that we took his car. So we're like, man, where did he go? We walk outside, the car's not there. And like he won't answer his phone. So finally, like, after making a sweat for probably, like, 2 hours, he finally picks up the phone, and we go, dude, where are you? And he goes, I'm on my way home. Like, screw you guys. I can't believe you did that to my hair. And, you know, I snatch the phone from Malice, and I go, Freely, if you're on the way home, just know that I'm really pissed off. I understand, but I'm really pissed off. And he goes, nah, guys, I'm not on the way home. I'm going to get my hair fixed. So he had to go to a barber in Baltimore and get his hair fixed. But that's probably one of my favorite ribs. That was kind of, it was kind of a jerk thing to do, but it was also kind of harmless. You know, he didn't get mad over it or anything. So he's a good sport.
Now let me ask you, we both have a mutual friend in Jesse Windham.
Yep.
And there was an incident where I believe it involved Chase Stevens. Where,
okay. Yeah.
He tried to steal a cab, and somebody pushed him over a park bench, and then somebody pushed him down an embankment. I believe you had a hand in that.
Yeah, a little hand. We were out one night after a Wrestle 4 show, and all of us had been drinking a little bit, and Jesse, I think he went to like urinate on the side of, on like the sidewalk on a bush or whatever. And it was, well, you didn't realize it was an embankment, like when he went over there, and it was like a thorn bush too, which is like a double whammy. So like midway through his streaming, we just go over and we shove him down this embankment. I mean, he disappears into this thorn bush. And when he gets back out, like he's staggering around, I think he had flip flops on and all this kind of stuff. So we start walking to the next place, and he like runs up and he just like shoulder checks Chase Stevens, and Chase goes down another like grassy knoll embankment, but doesn't really hurt himself, and he's laughing and all that kind of stuff. Well, Jesse goes to run away from Chase, and as he goes to run away, Chase gives him one good shove, and Jesse goes over to the park bench, completely eats it. Like I'm talking that show Ridiculousness or whatever it is. Just completely land face, yeah, scorpion like face first on his on the sidewalk, skins his face all up, his arms all up, everything. So and at the time too, like Jesse had quite a bit to drink. So he says, "Screw you guys, I'm going home." And he goes to call a cab. Well, this cab driver sees this drunk wrestler with long hair and flip flops stumbling across the road, and he's got blood just pouring out of his face. And the cab driver was about to drive off and, like, threat to call the cops because he thought Jesse was going to, like, carjack him or something just because, I don't know, he looked like Swamp Thing.
Yeah, because I saw him the next day at OSCW, and I walk in, and he just puts his head down. And I said, dude, yeah. I can't leave you alone for 5 minutes. Now, anybody knows, you usually don't want to get into a game of, like, you know, one-upsmanship with Chase Stevens because I believe you read a thing called the hockey punch.
Yep. Yep.
Where he just randomly will run up and punch you in the face.
Yeah, it's like a fifth. It's not like a 100% punch, though. You're not trying to knock people out, but you give them like a. We call it like a friendly tap. It's like a half speed, sometimes harder punch. Like usually they get more progressively harder every year. The night drinking's on and on. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, there's so many good road stories and rib stories, but like some of them I'll have to save for after my run's over because
right.
I can't get in trouble for them.
Exactly.
People don't know that you were the one behind them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's some good ones that people still don't know about. And another harmless one was you guys can ask Zane Riley about this one next time you see him. Zane was, as he does most of the shows, he helps put up the ring at PWX. Well, one day we're sitting around after the ring had already been put up, and I'm sitting there and I can feel something under the canvas. And I'm like, well, what the hell is that? And I, like, take my hands and I kind of, like, start moving it, and it's a cell phone. Like, somebody had, you know, when they put the canvas over the boards, had put left their cell phone under there. So I inch it out to the side of the ring to where I can, you know, get the phone out from under the canvas. And, you know, everybody that's around me, I think it was like the Bravados and Trevor Lee and a couple others are like, "What? Whose phone is it?" And I was like, "I don't know, let's check the Facebook." So they didn't have a lock on it. They didn't have a password on it. And we go to the Facebook on the phone and we realize that it's Zane's, you know, phone. So somebody's like, "Oh, we should give it back to him." And I go, "No, we're not going to give it back to him yet." And so about that time, I guess one of his lady friends sends him a text message that goes, "Thanks for like last night. I love you so much," and all this kind of stuff. Well, I told her to piss off, but I told her to piss off on Zane's phone. So she goes like, "What?" And so then I delete what I sent her on the phone, and then I turn the phone to Japanese. And once I turn the phone to Japanese, the text messages are coming in English. So Zane's girl, like, I finally go up to Zane. I go, "Zane, I found your phone, man. You left it under the ring or something." So I made it look like I was doing a good deed, which I was. I found his phone and gave it back to him. But I gave it back to him in Japanese when his girl was starting to curse him out, and he couldn't do anything about it. Like, he couldn't reply back because everything was in Japanese. So he spent, like, 3 hours over there on his phone trying to get his phone back to English so he can reconcile his relationship.
That's a great rib.
That's another classic one.
That's classic.
I remember the one. The one time we were over at Joe's after one of the OSCW shows, and you guys, I guess Joe is a big fan of, like, costumes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you and Malice and Freely come walking out there dressed up, and, like, you just guys just piece together shit from back there. And coming out there, and Joe's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, good times.
What about the time when, what's his name, Jane Grill was getting his eye licked? You remember that one?
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I walked in the kitchen and the blonde girl that used to hang over at Joe's house. I can't remember what her name is. We'll just call her Anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, some guys get stimulated by women licking their eye, and Jane Grill, of course, you know, he's done everything, and he's like, but except that, and he's like, well, why don't you give it a try? And I walk in there, and next thing I know, she's like peeling his eye open. And just, like, lapping it up like a cat drinks some milk. And I was just like, what did I just walk into? I mean, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
No wonder he's got a patch over one eye now. I'm just playing.
Yeah. I've never seen eyes with herpes.
Yeah, that's a herpes wait to happen. What do you say?
Yeah. So what else you guys got?
Let me see what else. If you could change anything in pro wrestling, what would you change?
Um,
more competition than in places to work. I mean, I think the business was at its best when there was competition on Monday nights. And, you know, you had options. Not only did the fans have options, but the wrestlers had options to go as far as work goes. I think with competition out there, you know, everybody does better, and everybody makes a little more money. The fans, you know, appreciate it more and all that kind of stuff. So I'd say more places to work / competitions for WWE.
Now you started out and as a fan, worked yourself up to a professional wrestling, walked down some of the big ramps for some of the biggest companies in the world. What advice do you give to anyone that wants to get into pro wrestling?
First and foremost, get an education. Always have a plan B or something to fall back on. Luckily, I did. I went to the University of South Carolina and got an education degree. So one day if wrestling didn't pan out for me, I could always fall back on teaching or something else. So first and foremost, get an education and also go to a reputable school, get trained properly. If the guy that is training you've never seen before or you've never heard of before, chances are he's probably not a good trainer. And then also make yourself stand out, whether it's with facial expressions or a different kind of character or whatever. But find something that makes you stand out, something that makes you a little bit different. Don't just be another wrestler. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to have necessarily like a gimmick, but at the same time, find your character. You know, it takes a while, too. I mean, it's taken, you know, there's still things that I tweak from here and there. So, but, you know, stand out from the rest of the pack. Don't be like everybody else.
In your opinion, what is the best way to promote pro wrestling?
Across the board, in all forms of everything. I think as far as like promoting a show?
Yes.
I think you need a little bit of everything nowadays because in society now, everybody's attention span is very short. With the advent of things like DVR, commercials might not be your best option just because people tend to fast-forward things. Or fast forward through commercials now and watch their shows on when they want to watch them. So I'm not saying don't do commercials, you know, but I'm saying, you know, you got to kind of hit everything. Even radio, like not a lot of people listen to radio anymore. Everybody listens to, you know, Pandora or Spotify or, you know, they've got their music on their phone that they bought off iTunes. So not a lot of people listen to radio, but it's still good to hit radio, still good to do commercials. Flyers don't hurt. I mean, social media doesn't hurt. It's just got to be a little bit of everything, though. You can't rely too heavily on one or the other. You know, you got to kind of hit all facets of promoting as far as getting your name out there.
And I have one last question. I don't know if Big Country has any more for you, but where do you see yourself in the next 5 years of professional wrestling?
That's always a question that's a little bit hard for me to answer just because, you know, to me, when I got in the ring and had my first match, to me, that was being successful. You know, I just wanted to have one match. And then when I had one match, I wanted to have, you know, 100 matches. And then when I had 100, I felt like I was successful. And then when I wanted to go overseas and I did that. So it's just kind of hard to say where you're going to be in 5 years. Because you never know what the next day is going to bring and then the next day and the next day. But realistically, I know I would like to, think anyways that I would be hopefully under contract somewhere and making a lot of money. So that's probably a very cliche answer, but that's where I kind of see myself, hopefully, knock on wood.
I hope to see you there too, brother. Big Country, got anything else for John Scott, my friend?
No, man, I just want to say, man, I appreciate you coming on here and being such an awesome guest. You know, like I said, I've been doing this, you know, in July I'll be 10 years, and I've known you every step of the way. So, you know, good job, good luck, you know, hope nothing but for the best. And I guarantee you we'll be seeing you on, you know, Monday Night Raw sometime soon.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for having me on. best of luck to you guys with your podcast, and best of luck to you guys in the new year.
Oh, one thing
to
note, we got to start doing
John.
This. We
What's
forgot
that?
To do this. We, John, if you don't mind, you know, tell everybody who you are. Give us a little sign off. You know, this is John Schuyler. You know, whatever you want to say about the program. You know, so maybe we can use it at a later date.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to use it. I want to use it as I could throw it together, piece it with some other wrestler stuff. Yeah, throw it together as some kind of promo for us.
Okay. Just whenever.
Yeah.
Go for it, brother.
Okay. This is the Southern Savior, John Schuyler. When I'm not trampling the weak and preaching the truth, I'm listening to the Nux Country Podcast. Because not only do they trample the weak, but they also preach the truth about everything pro wrestling.
Beautiful, beautiful. Anything awesome. You want to say to the fans before you take off, John?
Just thanks for supporting me and supporting professional wrestling. And this Sunday I'll be defending the PWX Championship in Charlotte, North Carolina for PWX Pro Wrestling at Club Escapade. I highly recommend everybody come and check that out. If you're in the Charlotte or the North Carolina or South Carolina area, PWX always runs a great show. Sunday will be no different. Also, support wrestling in your local town or area, wherever it may be closest to you. Thank you, and follow me on Twitter at TheJohnSchuyler.
Amen, brother. Anything else, Big Country?
I'm good here, Nugs.
All right, on behalf of Big Country, Joey Nugs, John Schuyler, I want to thank you for coming on. Next week's guest will be James Drake. James Drake will be on, and we've got a whole star-studded lineup going through the new year. Cool. I appreciate you listening. The good thing about these shows, they always play back. If you don't hear them live, you can hear them on iTunes. The playback goes all over Blog Talk, so people will hear this time and time again. We appreciate you coming on, John, and I'm going to play that beautiful bean footage, and we're out of here, brothers. See ya.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
It's the one, the only Joey Nugs, along with Big Country. And I want to thank you for listening to Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. Taking over the internet one podcast show at a time. We're small now, but before we finish, we're going to be a giant. Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. Follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. blogtalkradio.com/Nugs Country. Follow us on Facebook as well. facebook.com/Nugs Country. Bringing you the very best in professional wrestling interviews. Backstage ribs. Road stories. If you heard about it, professional wrestling, you heard it here first. Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast with Joey Nugs and Big Country. And now...
And we're out of here. See ya.
Later.